Hello, this is Jane Hoffman for Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's topic is how we intimately define ourselves and our reflection to what candidate we would like. More than that, it goes along with a parallel of world views. Here's an opening segment.
Miami, South Beach, bring the heat, can y'all feel that? Dig it out, Here I am in the place where I come back to Miami, the things and the sun get low, every day like a Mardi Gras, everybody party all day, no work, all play, okay, so we sip a little sip and later at it, still, me and Charlie at the bar, running up a high bill, nothing less than ill, but we're ready to chill, every time the ladies pass, they be like, I don't want y'all feel me, all ages and races, real sweet faces, every different nation, Spanish, Asian, Indian, and Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, and Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Bonito Ami Ami. Are you sick of the debates, or are you just getting in the groove? Gringos for Hillary. So anyway, I'm a gringo, but I learned a second language while I lived in Los Angeles. It was Spanish. And I'm going to share that with you in a second. Don will be calling in a minute. Yeah, welcome to Miami. We want to you experience everything. So here is another song while I get my Spanish prep. Welcome to Miami. Benito Ami Ami. Nothing do until the break of dawn. Here we go.
When the world must come together.
My script ready. Love is all we need. We are the world. We are the children who make a better day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, you make a better day, it's just you and me. Kayla, Parasito El Debate, Cree, que los socialistas y capitalistas pueden venir juntos sobre el cambio climático, el comercio y las relaciones. Exterior is foreign. What I just said? Que la ha parecido el debate. What did you think of the debate? Creo que los socialistas y capitalistas pueden venir juntos sobre el cambio. Do you think the socialists and capitalists can come together on climate change? El comercio y las relaciones exterior is foreign. Foreign trade and foreign relations. Now we're going to welcome Don in the show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Jane. Hi, everyone.
I went a little off tangent already.
Yeah, well, whatever you said, you were saying that money is the king of all, and anything else anybody does is worthless. That's what you just said. You didn't say anything about foreign policy or anything like that. I know.
I basically said, how did you like the debate? Can the socialists and capitalists come together? And then I said they have major differences pretty much on climate change, foreign trades, and foreign relations. And then before you got to the show, I played this song because the debate took place in Miami. 1 second.
I heard it.
Welcome to Miami, Benito Amiami. So I've come to a... I have one thing to say about tonight. The topic of the show is pretty open-ended.
Okay.
It's called Gringos for Hillary, Pappy and Guapos, What Miami Cubans Need and Want. Now, we can talk about anything, but I want to start out by saying my frustration level hit a maximum thrust last night with Trump bragging about his Christianity and then calling Ted Cruz a liar and little Marco and... So what I was going to do is I was going to turn my cable box into Charter. I was only going to listen to radio the next 6 to 7 months until the election. And I was going to eliminate all dead airspace, meaning the television. But today I came to a conclusion. I decided to watch the Republican debate. They all behave. I realized they all come from their own perspective. Their worldview differs greatly amongst each other, even like Cruz, Rubio, Kasich, and Trump. And I've just come to accept everybody now, whether it's right or wrong.
Very good. You got to understand.
I'm tired
something
of the Trump stalkers on Twitter. I'm not going to fight with anybody anymore.
Well, you've got to understand Donald Trump has that whole. I'm going to say the right militant wing that is coming out, you know, and that's where he's getting all this momentum from. These guys don't understand that being a military, being a military power is the reason that we keep getting into all these wars and keep pseudo-sustaining organizations like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We're doing, you know, when you come, when somebody comes to your house and kills all your kids and your wife, are you going to sit back and say, oh well, or are you going to actually actively do something? That's what the U.S. military has been doing. We've been killing all of everybody, civilians, and now the civilians are mad and they're getting rising up and saying, okay, we're going to fight back. And so anybody would do that. Any American would fight back if he was attacked.
I did get.
And that's what.
Tonight when
that's
I
what
really
I was trying to
listened,
tell you last,
you know.
Last
go
week.
Ahead.
I was trying to tell you that
there's
the last couple of weeks.
Okay, there's something I picked up tonight in the debate that it's not that I necessarily did not pick up before, but it was more clarified through their speech. If you listen to any of Donald Trump's stance on anything, whether it's the military, foreign trade, you know, import versus export, he comes from the entire premise that America's been gypped. We have to increase the odds in our favor, that Obama's been too permissive, that Obama's the only thing that he took a rational approach on was the Palestinian-Israeli front. Every other candidate up there condemned Palestine, but Trump took a neutral approach, and actually as a Christian and an Israeli supporter, I have become more softer on Palestinian rights because I don't like how they're cramped into that one small space, you know, between the Mediterranean and Israel. I think it's really a breeding ground for hostility, the way that they're trapped in there with all those gates and restrictions. Now, I just want to mention one more thing, and then you can comment back. In an international world perspective, Mark Rubio made a very good point. He said that if Donald Trump is going to increase the tariffs, it's only going to hurt Americans because if you're at Walmart buying $10 stretch pants from Cambodia, you're going to be paying $15 for those stretch pants if Trump raises the tariff. And then Trump counteracted by saying that he's only going to raise the tariff if places like China and other mass importers into the U.S. misbehave, if they don't follow his plan. So they were a little more specific tonight on policy positions. There was very little fighting, no name calling, and it was a much more pleasant thing to watch.
Okay, well, Jane, you stupid-ass heifer. This is not a...
Don't call me a heifer on national radio.
I was just showing the name-calling thing going down. Hold up for a second. I was just calling... I was just showing how they do
or
that.
I'm going to call anyway. You a Mormon polygamist.
but I am. Or I will be once the Mormons allow black people in their church. But
are you saying
line,
Mormons don't allow... Okay, go ahead.
But yes, I'm saying Mormons are the most hypocritical, racist people we've got so far. They're horrible.
They let blacks in the Mormons, don't they?
No, they killed all the blacks when they were coming west. They killed the Indians.
In Illinois.
And then the black people. What? Oh, I don't have a $100 bill.
They used to be stationed out of southern Illinois.
Let's
get back on topic.
No, well, that is topic because the topic should be about Donald Trump, and you just ran over all that crap that he just did. And what he did is what he's doing is trying to do, to completely destroy any race relations they've got. That's why he didn't denounce the KKK.
You know, but
hold
Trump, at least four times tonight, Trump knows that he has a good lead, and he talked at least four times tonight about uniting the party under a common cause, no matter who wins. So, yes, I do still think that Trump has a very narrow view of America. in his little, just close your eyes for a minute, in his little mind, the only Americans that are worthwhile are middle and upper class whites who probably look like his family. And I'm sure he has black friends, you know, and Asian friends and all that other stuff. But he is a what you would call a entitlement person. He thinks that certain Americans are entitled to certain things while others are not.
Jane, you hairy bear creature. All right, pal. Right on.
Quit calling me names, you black rump roast Trump.
Okay, well, we're trying to play the Trump game. You know that. We're playing
Harry
Trump
Perry.
Game. And he called
Harry Carey.
What does he say about women? Why would you look at that ugly thing? But, you know, for the most part, you got a 10. For the most part, Donald Trump is just, he's the smartest man I know besides me. And the reason is because he knows how to play everybody. Here we go again. How many times have I said, fuck that man? The checks and balances, fuck the presidency. The checks and balances that we have in place, sans executive orders, will keep him in check. Don't worry about him. Worry about your senator. Worry about your congressman. Worry about your damn dog catcher. But
I have, and I do.
The thing you have to keep in mind, though, is that he is going to start a civil war. That's what he wants. Because he can say he plays both sides against the middle. That's why he's a businessman, and that's why everybody has this perception that he's going to bring us out of the recession. But it's not going to be without
a
cost.
I did see a threat of sincerity come through him tonight, though. He said in the Palestinian-Israeli situation that he would listen to the Palestinian side and he would try to strike a deal. He's still spoken business terms.
Shut up. That's why are you being deceived again? The man is a liar. How many times have people said it and he hasn't denied it? He is playing both the Palestinians because they have money against the Israelis because they have money. And that's all he cares about. He doesn't give a damn if Palestine or Israel is wiped off the map. Quit being stupid, Jane. Seeing some sincerity.
¿Cuál es tu nombre de personas que llama y tú? Deja de gritarme.
We have a third caller.
Although the third caller is mad at you because you are saying that you actually think you have some sympathy for that spray-painted goofball. But, you know, Donald Trump is a lot like me, so I can't, you know, I'm saying that because he's a liar. You guys are being duped into thinking that he's a player. He's not a player.
Donald,
he just has money.
Listen, dude, I don't have sympathy for him. The Spanish caller said Donald Gallimore is going off on me in Spanish.
Donald Gallimore va fuera de mí.
Okay, this is the deal. I'm not sympathizing with him, but I got so angry at Donald Trump, I wanted to throw my TV through my second floor window. And then I realized today that this whole election's taking control of me. And I shut the TV off for 24 hours, and I backed off, and I realized there's more important things in the world.
What do you think I've been telling you? What do you think I've been telling you? I've been talking to a dead person.
Okay, dead person. Tell me about your trip to Vegas, because I think we've already burned the fuse on this topic.
That's fine. I just came back this morning from Vegas at a labor convention, and we're going to, and I need your help and everybody else's help I've already been doing it for a couple of years now, to revitalize these unions. The friends of the union have to do this because union members have become so scared and so sissified, you know, they've got no balls anymore. And so what we've got to do as friends and our family, we have to start propping them up again, because that's our source of bread, of money, and of benefits and everything else. We lose the unions, you've lost your benefits. You've lost your Social Security capability to the fullest. You will not.
Well,
be
not
able to
everybody
collect.
Belongs to a union, but I can go
no,
ahead. I do have an. Well, I have an example for you after you're done with your speech.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. I had my orientation today for the state of Wisconsin for my 4-year, 4-hour a day part time special ed job. And mind you,
right.
Specifically made it 4 hours a day so they didn't have to give me benefits. Except for
absolutely.
I do get full, I get full pay on Holy Friday and, you know, Memorial Day and things like that. But Scott Walker has stripped every Wisconsin public school. Basically, he took the unions away. They're still organized and they still ask you to pay their dues. But they have no power. So there were all
right.
these little brochures in my packet about what, how useless and pointless it's become in Wisconsin. Now, I have a question for you. One reason people like Scott Walker eliminated the unions is because his complaint was that police and school teachers were sapping the budget with all the promises made to them for payouts and retirement. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you can just see how the white man eats his young. The unions were built to maintain family stability, and that's what it did. It gave a framework to the family unit. All the kids knew that they had responsibilities for their parents who are union members. The parents are members of organizations. They have executive responsibilities. These were forming an important framework that would compete or complement government. So everybody knew Robert's rule of law. Everybody knew what bylaws were for. Mission statements. Everybody knows how to go attend a plenary session at the conference. Now they don't know that stuff. They have no idea what government requires when you're in session, and that's the loss of government. So we have to get the union back, not just so that they can fight for the benefits and the pay. You see how everybody's part-time, everybody's getting $10 an hour and happy about it. That's bullshit.
Well, I'm actually getting $14.81 an hour with my new job.
Well, that's because they are a union-affiliated job. They have, you're not going to be available privy to their benefits, but because they are a union, they're going to naturally try to pay you at scale, and that is much higher than non-union. So we're talking about a union has a huge influence on society, much more than just what people think. And to negate the impact of unions to the family and to the governmental and societal structure is a mistake. We're seeing the vicissitudes of it, and we're going to pay. We're going to pay because nobody's going to be trained. They're not going to be educated enough in governmental processes so that they'll have an opportunity to play. They can't participate if you don't know what you're talking about. And that's where the unions develop the framework for families and society. People are missing.
I agree
People
with you, and I want to mention something to you.
Check.
I've worked for the U.S. Post Office as a temp, but I still had union rights. I've worked for the Los Angeles School District in adult ed, and I had union bargaining rights. It's a shame what's happened to the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, it is
ridiculous. All right, let's just say you're a cop and you make $65,000 a year as a rookie, and then by the time you retire,
Well, without unions, you wouldn't have got that 2%, 5% annual cost of living increase.
My twin sister's worked for Los Angeles County 26 years. She doesn't pay into Social Security. She pays into the L.A. County retirement. And hopefully, she has a pretty secure retirement. But the fact of the matter is, hopefully she will. But you never know because what happened in Wisconsin could happen somewhere else.
She will.
You seem kind of angry tonight. What are you angry about, dude?
I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lazy, and I want to... Anyway, no, I'm not angry. I'm trying to
finally... Is it because you worked all day?
I haven't eaten anything or been to bed in more than 24 hours. But the thing is that it's not for that. I had a meeting just now. We just came from the NAACP meeting. And Pat, my wife, and everybody... We're tired of listening to you white folks talk. Y'all are talking out of your ass and not saying a motherfucking thing. Time to get off of your ass. If you ain't going to get off your ass, and then when I say pejorative, somebody's going to have to get y'all off their ass. And it's not...
Well, I work three jobs and I'm a single parent. There's not much... I don't have time to have... besides being a precinct chair of my DFL caucus, I don't really have a lot of extra time to go to meetings and stuff. I'm a heavy-handed taxpayer right now.
Yeah, but you don't get your fucking son involved in this shit. And then there are other people who can come in with you. You don't have to do it or think you are doing it all yourself. That's what organizing is about. You take your organization, whatever it is, and you make sure that you've got your dedicated officers, a hierarchy of leadership, and you give them those responsibilities while your stupid ass is working three jobs and your son is working a job. And
one
job. Yeah, but you guys have four jobs in a household of two people. That does not make sense when you can't coordinate or you can't get your budget together. That doesn't make sense. That's not the American way. You're supposed to have a father and a mother and your fucking kids and a white picket fence and a dog. That's the American way. And what you're doing is way off base. And you're fucking up. And I'm here, and it's time to say finally where you can maybe listen.
Don't count on me. I'm your friend.
I know, and I'm trying to help you, friend. You ain't getting it. I'm trying.
Yes, I am getting it, but you're not. I don't see you mailing me any money.
I was
rich
going
black
to
guy.
Help you. I was good. Well, what about it? I was going to tell you at some point that I decided to, I thought I'd probably help you with some of the premium, monthly premium. But that was good.
I already paid for it. I got a big windfall on my taxes.
What about next month? And the next month after that? And the next month after that? We're talking about, as much as I can in perpetuity. You know, you got your tax break, and now it's time for you to get a motherfucking car this month.
Guess what I'm doing Saturday, Krabby, no food. I'm teaching my son how to drive.
Right on, there you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we're going to go into the country where there's nobody around crashing. And I'm going to give him a couple lessons.
That's what a mother is supposed to do. Well, actually, that's what a father is supposed to do, but mothers will do when the father is not available. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I might not have his dad around, but I have an extended family who is excellent. So I'm not going to complain.
There you go. So bottom line is that what you're doing right now is what you need to be doing in your mind. Now, what you can probably do and what I would suggest is that you go to this new job after 3 months or so and say, hey, I want to go full time. And then if they give you full time, you quit one or both of your other jobs. You got to keep your health in check.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to work this job until June 8th is the last day. And then after that, when September rolls around, I'm going to remind them that I have a teaching license and I might want to go on the substitute list and that I would prefer to work full-time instead of part-time. But you can't just go in there swinging your fist. You know, you have to kind of ask first.
Well, fuck them. But anyway, you know that you can always come here and we have the opportunity to hire you immediately because we've got such a seizure shortage. But our governor, I don't know if you saw last week, issued an all-points bulletin for teachers anywhere in the country to come in with standard any kind of certification. And as long as you can pass a drug test, you're damn near automatically.
For Nevada?
Yeah, in Nevada, in Clark County, which is Las Vegas, we have right now 400 teacher shortage. And after this year, we're anticipating about 700. And then 2 years from now, or the end of next week, next year, we're looking at up to 1,000 teachers short. We're getting ready to split up the Clark County School District into 6 different districts. You know, we're the 6th largest in the country, but we ain't playing. We're going to try to change this thing, and I'm in the middle of it. That's one of the reasons I went down there 2 weeks ago to talk to a teacher and start getting together these teachers' programs.
I might take you up on that offer. I have to make sure Lauren's settled here in the Midwest. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay.
That's fine. He can stay. But we're talking about what is good for you, and if you want to teach, it's here. But if you want to continue doing what you're doing or anything similar, you might be better off in that where you're at. But I mean, I'm up here.
I am a little tired of moving, but I'm keeping my options open. I want to move back to the West Coast by 2015.
I'm like, you really are lost, girl. Okay. No, that's not.
Okay,
that's
by
not
the way, can we take the focus off me? I don't really want to do a nationwide radio show on the life of Jane Hoffman.
All right. I'm not really trying to put it on you. I just want you to fucking listen to what I say. Well, then you shouldn't be coming up with all this Trump bullshit. Fuck that motherfucker. All right? And then everything else that's going on, we're in the process of trying to change those things. You know, we're talking closely with the leadership of the NAACP nationally, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that we can get. You got. Let me go out here and get the change. Hold on. I know you got. Five. Yeah. Give me $5. You know. I'll change this whole thing. Go ahead, Jane. I'm in the transaction mood right now.
Okay.
Transaction mode.
Are you at work?
I
didn't know that.
Yeah,
don't worry. Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break. I'm going to play a song. Okay? About a 3-minute
break.
Ahead. Here we go.
Hold up. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Dig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the place that the sun set low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, boss. Hey, okay.
races, real sweet faces, every different nation, Spanish, Asian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, and Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Other things that I pulled from the debate tonight were that everybody pretty much stood in line with their philosophies. Ted Cruz didn't say anything new. Marco Rubio gave very eloquent, long-winded answers that were policy-driven. They weren't just, you know, full of dead air. He did mention things like he was a little compromised on climate change, saying that man himself cannot control climate and we have to keep our economic priorities straight, which is what he was really trying to say, is that he's not just going to give in to the whole challenge of reducing fossil fuels and using technological alternatives as Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton did the night before. The other thing is that I don't think that Ted Cruz really upsold himself. I think a lot of his answers, even though he is probably the smartest one on the stage, were pretty generic. And I think Kasich held his own. I liked Kasich's answer on delegate counts, saying that, you know, nobody knows what the future brings. Just let the tide pretty much roll in and see where the chips are going to fall. Because in a lot of states, delegate counts aren't determined by a winner-take-all. It's a proportional voting. So I think he still wants to be a contender. And I do think that with the media slant of always giving Trump the first-hand stage, even after the debates, he's always the first one they interview. I do think that a lot of people got gypped, you know, out of national prominence, especially Ben Carson, who had complete integrity, and he brought a whole different slant to a presidential race. So in many ways, the media... The other thing I wanted to mention is the fact that they've probably had, I swear to God, they've had at least 10 debates on each side, and it's just getting old now. Just let the candidates reach out to the people. You know,
no.
Let them reach out to
no.
the people and go one-on-one.
No.
Yes,
no.
Don Gallimore?
No, darling. What's happening is that people have too much time on their hands. Right now, we have people examining every speck of your feces. We don't need micromanagement like that. We need to make sure that the process is working. We need enforcement. We need regulators.
Well,
we need people who are actually
sweating that
instead
I said
of sitting on their fucking ass. What?
You're kind of angry tonight. I'm getting kind of
tired. Don't worry
of
about
it.
Me, dude. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to put over a point. What you're saying is only piling up more and more waste. What we need to do, all this macro management means you have to hire people to manage the micro managers and the micro managing. That's wrong. We don't need to employ people for pork belly legislation and requirements. We need people who are going to enforce what we've already got. That's what we need, and that's what the Republicans have been saying, and the Democrats have not been listening until now, until Bernie has come out and said, hey, we need to change over some of the things that we're doing. Before Bernie, is there going to be, if Hillary had won outright without contest, being contested, it'd be the same old if we're getting Hillary. Now
well,
she's got to act.
This might sound lame, but it seems like Hillary is always up against, I'm not trying to be funny here, but she's always up against a dark horse. Obama pretty much people heard him speak in the 2004 convention, and now she has to contend with Bernie Sanders, who Larry Elder said, can't she even beat a socialist who looks like he sleeps in his car all night? I mean,
no.
Sanders,
you got,
the reason,
when you're
the one
when
good
you're perceived
thing
as,
about, go ahead.
When you're perceived as the shit of the earth, you can't beat anybody. The Clintons are perceived as the shit of the earth because of their corruption, how they got their, you know, how they got their money, skirting the law, actually breaking the law, and over and over. That's why I said Hillary at the debate came up. She had was confronted with a question: would you pull out of the race if you were indicted? And she started laughing at pompous laugh. No, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to jail. They're not going to bite me. Left with you. You know, and she sounds like a fucking witch. And it looks like it, too.
You know what?
Who's gonna
the
vote?
Title of the
that's
show is Gringos for Hillary. I'm glad you're not a gringo.
I'm for Hillary, Dom. Right now, I mean, the only reason is because there's no way we can let any of the Republicans. I'd probably rather see Trump in there than anybody else, but we can't have any of those redneck, job killing people in our. I know for 4 cents. No,
I have a soft spot in my heart for Ted Cruz because he's a Southern Baptist.
I know,
was a Southern
he looks
Baptist
like
25 years.
And he looks like Mr. Dithers. So do you want Mr. Dithers' cold, thin fingers on your wallet? No.
I
not
think I just want hope and change. I want hope and change.
No. But the only hope and change, and Bernie says it all the time, and that's the only reason I can even stand having him around, is because he does actually propose a revolution. Minorities, that would be the best thing we could probably have going. Because right now we're
I
under
do like the fact that Bernie Sanders has so much influence. And the other thing is, the only reason I'll never vote Republican is because I'm 55 and I don't want my Social Security going down the tubes. Nor
it
all the
won't.
People who just got...
Oh, God. Quit being scared.
All the people... Just chill out. I just got a new brand of health care, and I don't want that to be threatened either.
Oh, my God. You don't even understand. Social Security is the most, is probably the best program we have ever had in the history of the United States. It's not going anywhere. This is just people talking. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we talked about yesterday is the fact that we're ready to expand Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. We are ready to make it bigger because they're lying to you as the fact that it's a drain. This is all the public's payment. The public has paid for their own Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. It's paid for. We don't have to worry about payments. The only thing that we have to worry about is the fact that Social Security, people are living a little longer and they're collecting a little longer. Other than that, it's been paid for. It's very well funded. The reason that they keep coming up with these problems, Carmen, I will see you later. All right. The reason they come out with these problems is because the monies that the profits that are in Social Security go into the general fund. So the Social Security will not show an actual profit at the end of a fiscal year because the monies that are in there as a profit are going to pay for the military. And the military, and then the military, and then the extra money is going to go to the military. So we are not in a situation where Social Security is insolvent. You will have your Social Security. You will have your Medicare, Medicaid. And it should be in the same form that it is now, but people have too much time on their hands, and they're going around saying, oh, we can reinvent the wheel 70th time. When the wheel is already rolling just fine. God, all you people are scared.
You know what? What I'm trying to say is, just could you chill out? as a regular voter, if I had to base my vote on a fear-based notion, it would be to ensure that my Social Security and health insurance are intact. That's just Jane
Good.
Q citizen talking. That's not Jane Q
Good.
Political science talking.
Because I was going to say, you're not worried about ISIS, that's good. Because ISIS will be here.
No, because I'm a Christian. I already know that what the end times promotes. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. The world is going
right.
to be in mass upheaval. And we cannot
right.
control a thing except for our daily lives in service to God.
Right. And your service to
that's
God
why
does not
I wouldn't mind
being
Ted
scared.
Cruz getting elected.
Well,
at least I think Ted Cruz has a spiritual handle on Christianity better than Hillary Clinton.
Ted Cruz is pulling the wool over your eyes, too. That boy don't believe more in religion than he does. That
he does,
a man
too. He went
a
to a Southern Baptist high school.
So what? I went to a Catholic college, and I'll cuss a Catholic out in a heartbeat. Worthless pieces of shit. The bottom line is that these folks are not telling anybody the truth. And when you don't tell anybody the truth, there is spewed crap coming out of people like your mouths about being scared. You know, my favorite Bible verse is this Psalm. I mean, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thine is with me. That's what you do if you're a Christian-loving person.
Amen.
You don't worry about any of the other stuff, though. You're bringing up stuff. We could be talking about points of improving climate change. We need to get these fossil fuel-burning cars off the road. I have a Prius, for God's sake, and I love my motherfucking car. That Prius is a road warrior. It can run forever. It's fast. These commercials, you see the new commercials where they're highway patrol cars. These cars are electric cars. They're faster than a gas-aspirated car any day, except for the fact that they have the regulators, but the speedometer regulators. But, you know, you're talking about we could be so much farther than we are. And we could have halfway saved the planet.
Don Gallimori presumiendo de sus importaciones japonesas.
The Latino caller said, stop losing your cool, Don Gallimore, and bragging about your Japanese imports.
My Japanese imports are saving the world. I sure as can't do it in a Dodge Ram 2500.
How about a 1976 Dodge Colt?
I can't save the world with this truck, man.
Okay, I'm just giving you shit now because you're off your rocker tonight. I can't wait to report this to John.
Okay, well, report it to John. All I know is that I just came from Las Vegas, and my entire round trip cost me and my car $55. I'm talking about going down there.
That's pretty good.
And driving back. I don't understand why people can't see. You know, I can drive into the nicest. We went to Mandalay Bay. We were at Luxor. You know, we're at the nicest places. I'm as proud to drive into the fucking valet with my Prius as I am with my Lexus or my Mercedes. I mean, it's just
I hate to tell you
this,
but Priuses are my favorite foreign car. I think I love the shape of them. They're attractive and interesting.
And I also like the
model. I like the one right under it, too, the Yaris.
The Yaris, okay. Well,
yeah,
the Yaris.
My friend bought one, and she paid it off in 3 months because her mother, she was an 18-year-old. She paid it off in 3 months. So her mom didn't make her pay rent until she had it paid off. Yeah.
Well, all I know is that I'm mentioning that's what I drive, and I know for a fact that I'm saving the fucking world. I know for a fact that me driving 48 miles per gallon is more than double your normal 21 miles per gallon that these regular gas aspirated cars get. So I know I'm saving the planet. What are you doing? And I know this gentleman with the damn Ram. He
I bought a $950 Buick from a struggling single parent Nigerian father.
God,
so I helped his pocketbook. But it has a kick
in
the engine. And my mechanic said it's only going to last a year. And to tell you the truth, I was thinking of buying a compact car like a Yaris or a Kia.
Well, I mean, you buy what you want to
do. Kias are
popular
in Duluth, and so are Subarus.
Uh-huh. Subarus are great snow cars.
Yeah, there's a lot of Subarus in Duluth. But the thing about my Buick is all my Buicks have had good engines. Like, before that 18-year-old totaled out my 2002 Buick, it ran like a kitten. It had a great engine. So I was kind of sad when that whole shit went down, except for I ended up getting out of really expensive payments. So it was a blessing in disguise.
That's why they brought Buick back. First of all, Buick and Pontiac, they had a choice, and they said Pontiac was the one that had to go. But they said both of them had to go, but they brought back Buick. And the reason is because not only the name, but the quality. It was just a Pontiac Oldsmobile as a Buick, but the quality of the Buick was just a smidgen higher than Oldsmobile Pontiac. So that's the way made. You got a good car, so don't worry about that. You just aren't going to save any
Buick,
money. I have a Buick
Century. I used to have a Buick Regal.
Mm-hmm.
I like Oldsmobiles too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care
Same
for
car.
Pontiacs too much.
Same car. You guys out?
I know. A lot of those
Oldsmobiles
and Buicks were all the same car in a different cast.
Well, all I know is that...
Well, anyway, we're going to end the show because we've been going 53 minutes, and I'm at work. What are your final thoughts?
I would apologize to you for being so abrasive,
Rankus.
But I won't. You know why? Because some of this stuff, it's about time you and the listeners and our radio guests and everything else, here's the real bottom line. And I'm trying to give that to you in as nicely as I possibly can. That this whole thing has to change. The fear of the white man is causing all of this. All of it. 100% is because of fear. If you want to alleviate or allay some of these issues that are going down right now, get rid of your fear, develop your love, and get and involve yourself. When I say that whites is a race, involve themselves in doing God's work or loving work instead of destructive work, which is the military's work, which is, this is not Donald Trump. This is Cheney and Halliburton and everybody, Boeing and Lockheed and everybody, Honeywell. These are all the corporations that profit from war. So, war is extremely, it runs the world. And without it, we might be like nice people and we'll have the veterans who won't be as many and they won't be as crazy and a burden because they're our new welfare class. The veterans are our welfare class and they're being treated like crap. And nobody is doing anything to help, and that's where all our money goes. And now we're building, we're trying to sell F-16 old, obsolete pieces of shit, but they're new planes but they're old technologies because the new technology doesn't work. The F-35s and those guys, they just crash. The Ospreys, they're just flying coffins. But we're selling F-16s to Pakistan, okay? Pakistan is one of the only countries besides Russia, us, and India who have or who have been allowed to have nuclear warheads, nuclear missiles. You know, and we're selling them F-16s. What in the world does Pakistan need with an F-16 except for the fact that they're having war, waging war constantly with India and Afghanistan? This is just continuing the war machine, which we can't win as regular people because it's not sustainable when, in all actuality, what is the war budget is 16% of our monies that are spent, and we can't track it because it's not a part of the GDP. The war expenditures are completely distinct and separate from the regular national GDP. So we can spend unlimited amounts of money in the military without anybody saying a damn thing, and we do, because the waste there is far larger than the waste that's in our government. So, you know, there are a whole lot of things that you and our readers and our listeners don't understand or don't listen to. And so many people are so involved in little bitty micro information or micromanaging or whatever, they never get to see the big picture. If you play chess or if you're a member of a military club or school or whatever, you know the strategy is where you get to the end game, the success in your favor in the end game. It's not the little moves. It's not the posturing. It's what you actually get, the strategy you get to strangle your opponent into submission. And people don't do that because they're stupid and they're looking at the trees and not seeing the forest. And that's the problem. And that's my take.
This is my final conclusion. I was born white. I've never strived to have a... I geared my life towards St. Francis of Assisi, Larry Rosebach, and the Catholic pacifist. I had to do a do-over, maybe I should have been a stockbroker or got the money first and then do the bleeding heart causes later, but I didn't. Now I'm a middle-aged woman with a pretty good salary, $41,000 a year. I work my ass off, but I don't mind working hard. The one thread that I got from the debate tonight, which is not where I usually get my inspiration, is that people do want to see America unified again. They're tired of the division. I'm sure the cruel people like the Koch brothers will always be agenda-seeking, but I have faith in America beyond the political process. Local involvement is important, like Don said. And I am becoming locally involved this year, even at the expense of my sleep. And I want to make a difference, but in order to do that, you have to be emotionally adjusted. And since I've gone through a 12-step treatment plan, I have become more emotionally secure. And I do believe that I can make a contribution to this country. But don't hinge all your hopes on, like, the top candidates, like Don was saying. Hinge it on what's going on locally in your community, because that's where you can really make a difference. So with that, I don't think America's going to fall apart, but we are in pretty troubling times. But don't listen to certain candidates whose name I won't mention or fear-based tactics. Just try to stay with, you know, your rudder, the rudder in the water and your eyes wide open, and hopefully things will turn out, even if we're not talking about election cycles, just things in general. Things will work out.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, Don, you and Pat are invited to Lauren's graduation June 8th, but I have a hunch you're going to be either in Illinois or somewhere else.
June 8th? I don't know where I'm going to be. We've got Juneteenth Day on, 12th of June, so I'll be here heading that, but which is the celebration of Black Emancipation in Texas. But anyway, I'll be coming to Indianapolis,
Chicago,
and the Midwest.
You said you had a family
Cincinnati,
in Indiana.
I'll be there July 3rd through. Well, I might have to come July 3rd for the weekend, come back here, and then go back there on the 12th, 13th of July for the in Cincinnati the NAACP. Convention, annual convention.
Guess what? I'll be in the Caribbean July 9th through the 15th.
Cool.
My twin sister's taking me on a cruise.
Wow! Tell her to enjoy herself. You know, that's what
it's gonna be. My sister, me, and both of our sons.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, anyways, Janessa Hoffman has to sign off, so good night.
All right, Janessa, good night to you, and good night to all my listeners. And, yeah, I need to get some rest. I'm running on 3 hours sleep in the last probably 48 hours or so.
How come you didn't sleep this morning before work?
Because I didn't get here till 6, till 5:30. And then I was unpacking and everything else that was going on, because today Pat had to go to Zumba at 10, so we had to just get stuff together. And I did get 3 hours of sleep, 1 hour in the car ride when she took over, and then 2 hours, and then it was time to get ready for work.
Well, you're not getting any younger either, so take care. Follow your own advice and take care of yourself.
I had two meetings before I had to come to work. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a pretty.
I had a terrible day too.
I was busy till 5 p.m. and then I got 3 hours of sleep. Now I'm working in the graveyard and I have to teach Catholic school tomorrow.
I didn't say I had a terrible day. This day has been wonderful because I am changing the world. I'm making everybody see that this shit is wrong, and I'm going to put together, if I can get all the proper help, we'll be putting together programs to change all the policing concepts around the country, all of the trying to get some of the educational precepts more positive for minorities and the teachers. Teachers are getting butt fucked like you wouldn't believe, and it's so sad because the teachers are so scared of losing their jobs. They're not saying anything, so they enjoy getting butt fucked.
You can't even talk. You're so tired. You just told me that Nevada had 700 teaching jobs. So am I going to go up there and get blank blanked?
Once you get the job, yeah. Once you get the job, you know that the kids' tests determine your bonus pay. You will not be getting tenure. There are all kinds of things that teachers.
I know. I think there's a word for it, but I forgot what I call it. I think it's called performance-based income or something like
performance,
that.
Performance. Yeah. So you'll be getting. Your performance-based pay is going to be a multiple of your achievement and the kids' test scores. That sucks. You don't want to have your job hinging on the fact that a first grader can't read the word cat. Oh, I'm glad you told me.
I know how it works. I went through the whole drill in California when I was in teacher training. I know all the philosophies out there. Right now, my Catholic students do very well, but the ratio is only like 13 to 1, as with public education, it's like 25 to 1. So there's only like 12 to 13 students in each class, and it's a wonder. It's almost Montessori style. They're all self-sufficient from the third grade on. They know exactly what they're doing. They know where their workbooks are. They're very smart kids.
The kids
and I'm glad
don't
to be
have
up
a
here
problem.
For that reason. But in Los Angeles, I had 99% ESL kids. And they came from, none of their parents spoke English. They had a lot of barriers, cultural and economic. It was a whole different story. But some of them still were nice kids. They were. They had hope, and they some were very ambitious, and they had success on their mind.
Don't you know that there are a shitload of Hispanic Republicans, authoritarian followers, and they love dictators. They're used to dictators, so they come in here, and Donald Trump. And don't get it twisted. Donald Trump does have a huge Hispanic following. And that's because they like people who will take them by their neck and make them do things. Hispanics love that shit. And,
well, that's funny
got...
you mentioned. I do have one last comment. Bernie and Hillary talked about last night about South American dictatorships and its effect on some of the people, especially places like Chile. In 1973, when Kissinger went in there and murdered 1,000 people in a soccer field, I mean, not every, maybe Mexicans are privy to Trump, but not every person south of the border, all the way down to Argentina, likes dictatorships. Argentina, they killed 1,000 of their own students in a strange disappearance in 1976 that Jimmy Carter tried to intervene with. They dropped 1,000 students out of a plane in Buenos Aires, and all those kids disappeared, and the parents still don't know what happened to them. They know, but they don't. They couldn't collect their bones.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I got to head out, Don. I'm at work.
Okay, baby. I'll talk to you later. Say night, viewers.
Good night, viewers.
Good night.